Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Kick off your future with the law firm of Cundori & Murad, the official Grant & Danny show sponsor. They'll help protect your assets, update your will and trust, schedule a free estate planning strategy with one of their Fairfax-based attorneys. Visit kmlawyers.com to do that. Or when you do, make sure you mention us, G&D, and get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Another chance for you to win tickets to Old Glory DC Rugby tomorrow at 4 o'clock ahead of the Beltway Blitz. And a reminder that we've got a merch shop for 106.7 The Fan gear and team-themed gear for your favorite teams in town. 106.7 The Fan merch shop has brand new baseball apparel and a new Nats line, if you will. Go check it out. We've got a We've Got Wood shirt for James Wood. You've got the Cruise Missile shirt for Dylan Cruz, Cruise Wood 24 campaign themed shirt that I have. Check out the rest of the collection in conjunction with Breaking Tee. 106.7 The Fan's merch shop is where you got to go.
I have several shirts. I wore my We Got Wood shirt over the weekend. The only problem with that was it was so cold that I had to get covered up, but it's going to make plenty more appearances throughout the springtime, especially as this weather gets a little bit warmer.
Yeah, the campaign-themed Cruise Wood shirt, 24.
It's a sharp-looking shirt.
I wore it at the ballpark and got some love. There was one other guy already rocking it, actually, which is crazy because like I got mine real quick through the radio station. This guy already had his, and he came up to me.
Really?
I don't know, but he came up. He's like, can I take a picture with you? And I was like, oh, he loves the show. That's
big,
awesome.
Big fan of the show.
He's a Grant and Danny guy. And he came up. He's like, you're the only other person I see wearing this shirt already. You already got yours, too. And he, like, took a picture with me. And I was like, oh, he doesn't listen to the show at all, probably.
Did you do it? I'm Grant, by the way. Grant.
I told him I'm Danny. I said, yeah.
I've done that.
Why do you guys sleep on the turnaround from Breaking Tee? They turn things around.
Oh,
really,
dude, they're so rapid.
They're so fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
They better. But yeah, they do a really good job, and they've made us beautiful shirts, and it is good to be in business with them. So 106.7 The Fan merch shop, go check it out now. A national championship game tonight, Purdue and UConn. We'll get you our predictions and our preview before we get out of here. A couple of things we have to hit that are leftovers that we haven't gotten to. Steven Strasburg's retiring. Dave Jagler joined us at 3 o'clock 3 hours ago. If you missed that interview, you can podcast it at thefandc.com, grantanddanny.com/audio. I've not seen definitively anywhere that he is going to be at Nats Park for the homestand a little over a week and a half to honor the World Series run in 19. But I'd imagine that that was part of the timing here. Why else would they have come to this agreement if not to make sure that he was going to be there with his teammates for the five-year selly?
It's sort of this informal deadline, right, that was coming up. No rule said you have to do this by then, but it would lead to discomfort, right, and some bad questions. Yeah,
if not for trying to make sure he's here in a week and a half, why would they have come to this accord? Because again, based on what I was told, I asked around, there was no like deal struck. It's not like Strasburg agreed, okay, you don't have to pay me all the money you owe me. Actually, I'll pay back $20 million. And they said, great, that's a truce. Let's shake on it. The way I was told this went down was it's the exact same deal. He's getting all of the money. 7 years, $245 million. He'll throw in 30 innings. The team's not getting any more than they were supposed to when they originally kind of put the halt on the press conference. And they're just coming together, putting out statements. They'll take a picture together like they're Ted Leonsis and the mayor, and we'll move forward. That's kind of the way I see this. So the only reason you're going to do that, if you're the team, why extend an olive branch if you don't need something from him? That something is, it would have looked really bad if he wasn't at Nats Park, and now he probably will be.
I think that's at its core what it was. And, you know, a protracted fight or even a perceived fight with one of your statue guys, one of your jersey retired guys, there's no upside to that. There's no benefit. The organization isn't made better. You know, I understand their position, by the way, that, you know, you'd like to not have to pay that. Sorry, you entered the agreement. And from Strasburg's side, I understand that. I know it's probably rough, but you agreed to it. So, you know, there's no point in me giving in. If I do nothing, I get all the money.
Strasburg's career was largely derailed by injuries. He was incredible, and he was a World Series hero, but he would have been a Hall of Famer if not for the injuries. I want to get into arm injuries for a second because this is a major story in baseball right now. So look at what's happened the last couple of weeks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Shane Bieber, who was leading Major League Baseball in strikeouts, had 20 Ks in his first two starts, 12 innings, couple of gems for the Cleveland Guardians. Shut down, now needs Tommy John surgery. Spencer Strider, who is the Atlanta Braves' top pitcher.
Star.
One of the great arms in baseball. More strikeouts than any other pitcher over the last two calendar years. Shut down, they did imaging. He's got a UCL problem. They have not said for sure yet that he's going to have TJ, but it is heading in that way, and it sounds like Tommy John surgery is on the horizon. Yuri Perez, who is a 20-year-old elite prospect for the Marlins, who got to the big leagues last year before he was old enough to drink. One of the most hyped and talented pitching arms at 20 years old in baseball over the last several years, who was treated very carefully, kid-gloved all the way up, all kinds of inning and pitch restrictions for him. He was shut down earlier this season. He's going to have Tommy John surgery. We still have not seen the return of Gerrit Cole yet. Hopefully he doesn't need it, but he's having arm problems. I just saw that the Astros scratched one of their top pitchers today. And now we're going to have to wait and see what's going on. But Framber Valdez has elbow issues. He's going to get more imaging done. This is a bit of an epidemic right
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely.
In Major League Baseball. And this has been the case the last couple of years with pitching injuries up and up, that something is afoot where these arms are breaking more than they used to. So I say all that to tell you that the Players Association Executive Director, Tony Clark, came out on Saturday and issued a statement. Tony Clark is blaming the pitch clock for these injuries. Statement was, despite unanimous player opposition and significant concerns regarding health and safety, the commissioner's office reduced the length of the pitch clock last December, just one season removed from imposing the most significant rule change in decades. Since then, our concerns about the health impact reduced recovery time have only intensified. The league's unwillingness thus far to acknowledge or study the effects of these profound changes is an unprecedented threat to our game and its most valuable asset, the players. Now, Tony Clark hates the pitch clock.
Yep.
The players hate the pitch clock. Not all of them. I shouldn't even say the players do. The union hates the pitch clock, and Tony Clark hates the pitch clock. The people that are coming out now and blaming all these injuries on the pitch clock, and they may be right, they may not. There's no way to know. They don't like the pitch clock. Mm-hmm. That's who's complaining about the pitch clock and saying it has caused all these injuries. People that already don't like it. There's no way to prove that the pitch clock is causing the injuries. Zippy. There have been no studies done to suggest that necessarily. There is some concern maybe or some thought from smart people saying, hey, the less recovery time you have, the more likely it might be that you get hurt. But for him to come out, I thought that was a bad statement in general. Just to say, basically blame it on the fact that they lessened the pitch clock again this year. Not even that last year's pitch clock was the problem,
right,
but that they did it again this year. This was baseball's response. They put out a statement. This statement ignores empirical evidence, much more significant long-term trend over multiple decades of velocity and spin increases that are highly correlated with arm injuries. Nobody wants to see pitchers get hurt in this game, which is why Major League Baseball is undergoing a significant comprehensive research study into the causes of long-term increase, interviewing prominent medical experts across baseball, which to date has been consistent with an independent analysis by Johns Hopkins University that found no evidence to support the introduction of the pitch clock increasing injuries. In fact, Johns Hopkins, found no evidence that pitchers who worked quickly in 2023 were more likely to sustain an injury than those that worked less quickly on average. JHU also found no evidence that pitchers who sped up their pace were more likely to sustain an injury than those who did not. So they've gone back over years, who worked fast, who didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Any more chance of injury. They look back at last year's pitchers who threw pitches with 7 seconds left on the pitch clock versus one on average. No knowledge yet, no evidence, nothing linking how quickly you work to how most frequent you're getting hurt. What we do know is that this didn't start last year. Steven Strasburg's whole career was derailed one time after another. There's
sure, pitchers get hurt.
Yeah. A million injuries over the years. Velocity could have a factor.
That's the factor. That's the answer, by the way. That's the alpha and omega. That's the entire thing. Even before guys were throwing 100, pitchers would get hurt sometimes at a higher rate than your regular position players because it's an unnatural motion, as Earl Weaver said years ago. The answer is velocity. There's no pitch clock in amateur baseball where 15-year-olds are getting Tommy John at alarming rates. It's velocity. Now, here's the problem. Good luck trying to get noticed and get your scholarship or get drafted without velocity. Bad pun here, but it's an arms race. This is the beginning, middle, and end of the entire story. There's no way to say, hey, guys, just throw slower. Because you don't get the $100 million deal. You don't get drafted in the first round throwing 92 anymore, right? That used to be the way to get noticed, is you could stand out. You can't stand out. You can't participate. There's no Greg Maddux. There's no Tom Glavine. There's no Jamie Moyer or Dennis Martinez or guys that mix pitches anymore. You have to throw 100.
Even if at the big league level you're able to succeed by pitching, not throwing, you know, the rare Paolo Espino type that can slow you away, Paolo Espino can never get to the major leagues, to your point.
That's my point, yeah.
He can't get drafted, 15th round pick way back in the day. He can't live in the minors. He can't sustain.
Mm-hmm.
He won't keep a contract with the team. He won't get elevated up the levels. Throwing 86.
So what's happening is the human body cannot do this. There are a couple guys that can. Once a generation, there's a freak. There's a Randy Johnson. There's a Mark Wohlers that can throw 98 or something like that. Now, little guys like Spencer Strider, little guys, you could find a trillion of one of them, are pushing their
Carlos
bodies.
Martinez, yeah, from the Cardinals, who threw 99 at 5'8". This kid, Tink Hentz, weighs 158 pounds in the Cardinal system, throws 97.
These guys are pushing their bodies with hard work, by the way. I'm not begrudging their efforts because they know what it takes. But they're going beyond what the human body is supposed to be able to do, especially for them. They're maxing out to such a high degree. It makes your small connectors, your elbows, your rotator cuffs, your different spots, ticking time bombs. It has nothing to do with how fast you're working or otherwise. It was the same consternation, it reminded me, of when they're like, what do you mean I can't cheat and use spider tack? You're not. There's no inalienable God-given right to throw 100. I'm sorry, you're going to have to mix pitches and throw 92 instead of 99, gripping the baseball like it's like you're trying to squeeze the life out of it.
But to your point on the spider tack, so if the Players Association really wants to pick a tree to bark up and say that this is causing more injuries, I don't think the pitch clock's the one, because that's so late in the game with the era now of all mm-hmm. these pitcher injuries, which have been ubiquitous for years and years. What I think is actually probably more likely to be causing injuries is what Tyler Glasnow talked a lot about, and what a lot of pitchers have come out and spoken about the last few years, which is when they got rid of spider tack, or in his case, just sunscreen and rosin. Most guys didn't use spider tack. Almost everybody used some kind of substance. Most of the time it was sunscreen as a sticky substance to grip baseballs, and that's happened for decades and decades and decades. And if you go back and listen to what Glasnow said, when they first came out, before they started policing and suspending, when it became known for players that they were going to start getting spider tack out of the game, any kind of foreign substance was going to be illegal. He had long been a sunscreen and rosin guy, which is the most prevalent way to grip the baseball. For a game, he stopped doing that just to see, like, I got huge hands, I can grip the ball, let's see what happens. He had a really good game against the Nationals that way. Didn't affect his performance necessarily. High spin rate pitcher anyway. But he said he was sore the next day in places he didn't even know he had muscles. Now, he said, I know what this sounds like. It sounds like a guy that doesn't want to lose the ability to use, a foreign substance,
mm-hmm.
complaining. He's like, but I'm just telling you, there are doctors that put out studies, and I've read all of them. Or, I mean, not the studies, but the columns on this, where smart people come out and say, yeah, you have to squeeze the ball harder. I mean, do this as you're driving in your car listening to me right now. Take your hand and now squeeze it around your palm and feel the muscles in your hand. Now squeeze it harder, and you feel the tightening of those ligaments and everything. So you're going to
do that 100 times at max effort.
Right. You go from just not having to squeeze a ball that tight because it's going to stick in your hands to now having to squeeze it really tight as he's choking the ball back. I 100% think that not being able to use a sticky substance is probably a factor in some of the muscle and issues that arms are having in baseball, more so than the pitch clock. Now, pitch clock could also be a factor. I have no idea.
I think it probably is a tick up, maybe.
I'm sure there's a small part of, I don't know a lot about weightlifting, but rest time's important, and if you don't rest enough between sets, you're probably more likely to do something while you're tired, and that'll get you hurt faster. I'm sure it all plays into it. But to pretend, because you don't like the pitch clock, like now guys are getting hurt more than they used to, I think is silly. When the deal is, to your point, the velocity. That is what this is all about. The human arm is not designed for that action once,
yep,
let alone hundreds of times throwing a baseball. We're not supposed to be able to throw a baseball 102. We're probably supposed to be able to throw a baseball 59 to 67.
Yeah, again, there are always freaks. There's always one guy that can do it without that kind of huge strain on their bodies, and that's incredible. But it's not rare anymore. It's a prerequisite.
I saw this floating around the internet this weekend, and I saved this for this discussion. Baseball Pods had this. I don't know where the actual story came from. But this is from Dr. James Andrews on youth pitching. These kids are throwing 90 miles per hour their junior year of high school, he says. The ligament itself can't withstand that kind of force. We've learned in our research lab that baseball is a development sport. The Tommy John ligament matures at about age 26. So that's the UCL.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, we talk about, like, when's the brain fully developed? When's, supposedly that UCL is done doing whatever it does at 26 years old. Now think about your kid who's throwing a couple hundred pitches on a weekend,
uh-huh,
or whatever it is, right? In high school, the red line where the forces go beyond the tensible properties, that's a smart way of saying something.
Tensible properties, but yeah.
Essentially, when you're throwing too hard for your ligament to not be affected, is 80 miles an hour if you're a high schooler.
Mm-hmm.
Every kid in high school is ramping up and trying to get to 90 so they can get looked at.
And then they're pitching all year round on their travel team, on this showcase team, on this stars team, on this, you know, it's a multi-billion dollar industry to try to get yourself to the next level. I understand it. Again, it's a catch-22. You cannot get noticed unless you throw hard. There is no room for the guy that paints, that locates, that's got a four-pitch mix or whatever at an ACC school or the SEC or the Big Ten or Pac-10 or whatever they're going to be called. You can't. There's no place. You have to do it this way. And the consequence is, oftentimes, for all the guys that don't make it because they've got multiple surgeries, multiple injuries, multiple shutdowns, the dudes that do make it are incredible. Pitchers are nastier than they've ever been. The number seven in organization is nastier than every single dude in the show in 1990 right now because of how rapidly this has gone up. Like, to compete, I mean, it was basically, to me, a direct result of the steroid era for offense sort of ballooning some of these numbers, and pitchers finally said, screw this noise. We got to find a way to compete with this stuff. So we're inventing cutters. We're finding a way to max out velocity, effort, and that became the laboratory where these guys could kind of get on the same level, and we've gotten to that point where pitching is too good. The game has changed in that direction. I don't know how you fix this. I don't. There's got to be some sort of way to go, and this will never happen, but go, pitcher, you who are throwing 99 at max effort every single time, that is going to damage you. Please throw 94. Okay, good luck enforcing that. How do you do it? What do you do?
Well, no.
You can't?
No, that's not happening.
It won't work.
You know why? Because it's harder to hit 99 than 94.
I know.
And that pitcher is, depending on the age we're talking about here, I guess if it's one of the 10 high school seniors in America who could throw 99 or whatever,
mm-hmm,
and you're not allowed to throw over 95 in a high school game if you want to make that rule, good luck enforcing it or whatever.
Right?
But as a professional...
If Buford's radar gun said 96, that's illegal.
As a professional, you're going to tell me to do less? No.
How? You
now,
can't.
Guys did. We have over time. I think about Strasburg. When Strasburg first came up, he was 97 to 100.
Mm-hmm.
His first night ever at Nats Park, he was, you know, 98, 99, touched 100 a couple times on the scoreboard. By the end of his time as an effective pitcher in 2019, I think he was like 93 to 95. Now, there was maybe some 96s in there, but he was like 93, 94, mm-hmm. 95 with a moving fastball, and it was a lot more curveball, changeup, slider, breaking stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are plenty of examples like that where some of the best pitchers in the game came up as flamethrowers, and then they end up being just, they're still above average fastball velocity.
Like Zach Greinke, for goodness sakes, came in as a cheddar thrower.
Well, I mean, he's a whole different example where he was like throwing ephuses and 86 miles an hour at the end of his career.
Mm-hmm.
But by and large, the average guy goes from like 98, 99 to like 94, 95, and they realize, I'm going to take a little off. I'm going to locate better. So if everybody did that, maybe there'd be fewer injuries. Arms break. You know, my scout buddy who won World Series titles with the Astros used to say that to me all the time. Arms break, man. It's not a natural motion. Guys are going to get hurt. We can try to point fingers and figure out why, and we should try to figure out why as best we can. But find me one person saying, it's the pitch clock, it's the pitch clock, who liked the idea of the pitch clock initially.
I think it's a good correlation to bring it back.
It's a really convenient excuse for someone who didn't want or doesn't like the pitch clock. Your buddy who's going to tell you when you talk about this that the injuries are because of the pitch clock, scroll back in that text chat. Bet you didn't like the pitch clock very mm-hmm. much.
Yeah, I think it's pretty salient. So, I mean, to me, I hate pointing out problems when I have no solution. I don't know what you do because this epidemic is not going anywhere.
I don't think you do anything. I think pitchers are going to get hurt.
Yeah.
You need more depth. You need more of them. It's a terrible, awful thing. I also think paying pitchers insane amounts of money is going to change. And you started to see that maybe this offseason. I think some of it was just, you know, there were some questions about Snell's one of like the worst great pitchers ever. You know, he pitches against the Nats tonight. He won his second Cy Young Award. The amount of guys who have ever won two Cy Young Awards is minuscule.
Not that long a list, yeah.
He also led the league in walks last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's a five and dive guy. It's like he wasn't going to break the bank. But to pay Garrett Cole $300+ million and now he's unavailable to the Yankees, and if he needs TJ, you know, if a hitter gets hurt, they're out a couple months typically. Pitcher gets hurt, it's a calendar year. You miss Shane Bieber. He's going to miss all of this year, and then he'll miss the first couple months next year. That's a massive portion of a contract. He happens to be in a contract year, so I feel terrible for mm-hmm. him.
You look at DeGrom as well, because when it's right, when you're on, my God, it's of course it's worth it. But you know how often does that happen? But yeah, to me, there's the MLBPA, to bring it back to that, griping about that one element of things. I don't know. If there was, I'd give it more credence if there was any acknowledgement towards the current state of baseball, right? With when we're talking about velocities and max effort and everybody has to throw so hard in order to get noticed, you got to throw so hard. But you can't turn off the spigot now. You can't turn off the faucet and walk or put that back in the tube, so to speak. There's no way around that. You're stuck. And so you're blaming it on whatever you can. But in reality, it's like, you want to complain, go talk to every reliever that's coming up from AAA, throwing 100 with no idea where it's going. You know what I mean? Like, but you can't. There's no finger to point at if you're Tony Clark.
I also just now, and I think most people probably agree with this if you follow baseball, when you see a guy that throws really hard who's young, you go, okay, he's going to have Tommy John at some point. Now, I hope he has the Tommy John like before the big season or before he gets to the big leagues. Like, I'm not going to name names or anything, but like find a guy that throws really hard in the minor leagues that's revered and you can't wait to see in the big leagues. It's only a matter of time.
Well, Mackenzie Gore threw a 99-mile-an-hour fastball to strike a guy out letter high yesterday. And I was like, that's amazing. The first 15 comments after I tweeted that were like, Tommy John, countdown in 5, like right. Those kind of shticks. And it's like, that sucks, and it's morbid, and I hate it, but uh-oh, right? That's the world we live in, right?
Yeah. I mean, it is. It's a shame, but it's happening all over the sport. It's not going to change. And I just would remind people, this has been the case like this for several years. These arm injuries, mm-hmm. it's been ramping up little by little, year by year by year, and it was certainly happening before the pitch clock. And I'm with you. I think it has more to do with velocity than anything else. The Wizards are in action tomorrow night, 8 o'clock tip in Minneapolis against the Timberwolves. They're idle tonight. The Capitals, I've said this a few times, I know, but I'll say it once more. The biggest game of their season, losers of 6 in a row. They play the Red Wings tomorrow night at 7 o'clock.
Here we go.
That game will determine whether or not they have any playoff hopes left. If they lose that game, they'll be all but cooked. They win that game, they'll probably be in the playoffs with a little bit of help going into their Thursday night matchup against the Sabres. The Nats are playing this evening. No lineup is out just yet. We're waiting to see if C.J. Abrams makes his return. 9:45 first pitch this evening for Trevor Williams of the Nationals and the aforementioned reigning Cy Young Award winner, Blake Snell. San Francisco Giants, who is in year one in San Francisco after getting next to no money in free agency on a one-year deal somehow.
Natty, tonight, who you got?
UConn. And they are, I actually think they, if you told me right now they lose or they win by 15, they win by 15. They're just, nobody's as good as them. They've been better than everybody all season long. Purdue might have the best player in Edie. It reminds me of Iowa yesterday. Caitlin Clark was the best player. South Carolina was the best team. UConn's the better team.
UConn, hopefully, not hopefully, if you're a UConn fan, they'll have an answer for Edie because Kling in and that rotation. If Purdue can knock down a couple of shots, I think they could do what Alabama did and keep it close. But UConn, man, you blink and you look up and they're up 15. And you're like, wasn't it tied a minute ago? They're amazing.
By the way, if you're a Wizards fan, and I know many of you are, watch this Donovan Kling kid tonight. I don't know that he's going to go top couple, but now everyone's saying he could be a top five, top three pick. Wizards obviously could be picking in the top three.
If you like defensive centers, that can help you.
20 years old, 7'2", defends the rim, and getting better and better all the time. For Danny, I'm Grant, saying so long. Linnell's got overtime coming your way next. Darris, Ryan, Danny, GP back at it tomorrow at 2 o'clock.
Thank you for coming.
I'm Toby Altizer with your sports update on The Fan. Tonight, the national championship game between UConn and Purdue tips off at 9:20. You can hear that game over on the Team 980. Connecticut's looking to be the first team to go back-to-back since Florida did just that in 2006 and 2007. The Boilermakers are looking for their first ever national championship. In baseball, the Nationals take on the Giants tonight, 9:45 first pitch. You can hear right here on The Fan. Trevor Williams goes to the hill for the Nationals. Blake Snell for the Giants. He was the NL Cy Young winner last season. He's making his Giants debut tonight. In the NFL, Washington has made some hires for their training staff. Ryan Juarez was hired as the director of rehabilitation. Jamal Randall Sr. was hired as the senior physical therapist as well as assistant athletic trainer. The Capitals have the day off today. They're back in action tomorrow in Detroit for a huge game against the Red Wings. From the Crop Medcalf 5-Star Sports Desk, I'm Toby Altizer on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.